the great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. She, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. There appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his hands. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God into his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had the place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimonies, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. When the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth the water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of his seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. I'd like to just take a few minutes here, if we could, and try to point out some things. You know, Brother Coon and I was talking this evening, and then, of course, the other day, Brother and I was talking along the same line of thought. Brother J.T. kept speaking about being here in this area. He had had a vision where the Lord was doing something in the South. Now, we've come up with the thought, you know, that to be here, you don't have to be here, because God is omnipresent, God is omnipotent, God is omniscience, God is everywhere. And you don't have to be here. And, of course, I've heard brethren comment on that. They say, well, you don't have to be here. Well, that's true. It's like over in Jeffersonville, Indiana, where Brother Branham was when God moved years ago, or back over in Arkansas, back there where the Lord moved many years ago. You didn't have to be there. See, you don't have to be in that place to be with God, because God is in you. Is that right? But here's what I love. So this is what I really love. When Brother Branham came into the meeting over there years ago when I was out in the congregation, Brother Branham didn't bring the Lord Jesus. Because before Brother Branham came, I had the Lord Jesus. I already had him in my heart. There was other people out there that had him. And he didn't bring him, because the Bible said, where 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name, there I'm in the midst of them. See, Jesus was already there. The angels was already there. Brother Branham did not bring the Lord. But the one thing that he did do was he came into our presence and revealed God to us. See, God was there all the time, but God needed somebody to reveal him. Now, you didn't have to be there. God was somewhere else. You could have been somewhere else. God was somewhere else, wherever you might have been if you had God. God was there. But the thing is, the man that revealed God wasn't there. That's what makes the difference. I like this place down here because God's sending men in here. And God's doing things in this area. And God's revealing himself to let us know what he's doing. He always does that. It's just like water. You could be out in the middle of the desert. You wouldn't have to go to a well to get water because there's water out in the middle of the desert. You could go down across the field down here somewhere. There'd be water. You wouldn't have to go to a well. But I'll tell you what, if you're real thirsty, if you can just get to the place where the water's revealed, it's so much better. Hallelujah. You need a well to reveal it. And that's why I love to get around where men of God are that talk with God, that have something from God, because I love to see Him reveal it. I didn't have to be where Brother Branham was, Brother Sweden, but I tell you one thing, though I had Jesus, it delighted my heart to be where that man was, because I love to see Him reveal Him. People didn't have to walk with the Lord Jesus in that day to have God's presence, because the Holy Ghost was with Israel way back there. David spoke of it, Peter spoke of it, the others spoke of it. But when the man Christ Jesus come along, it was so wonderful to be with Him as He revealed Him. And not only that, but when Elijah and all the other prophets came by, it just made so much difference. And when the man of God comes by, it just makes so much difference if you've got him there to reveal God. Now, I know that I can't reveal God, nor anybody else can reveal God, unless God will come and commune with us and allow us to do so. But when the people of God get hungry, if there's a man of God in the land, he can reveal God. There's just no question about it. He can reveal God. Hallelujah. You say, well, Brother Pike, if he's a man of God, he can reveal God if the people were not hungry. Well, then if he can do that, he's greater than his Lord. The Bible said no man be greater than his Lord. And the Bible said many great things that Jesus couldn't do because he wasn't hungry. They wasn't ready. They wasn't desirous. And so then that's the way that I understand it. I love to come together with God's people. And when God starts moving, I love to be in that place. Now then, I want you to notice here that on the board, as we poured out the other night, I was pointing back here to the thunders and talking about the thunders and pointing back to Revelation 10. And about that time, a jet thundered over and the rain come down. We was talking about the finishing of the mysteries, wherein we had that Bible open and was pointing out how that in Paul's day the mystery was finished. How that it came down from heaven in Paul's day, and that was the end of the world. And how the mysteries was finished, and how that it has taken us at least 2,000 years to comprehend what God gave Paul. How many believe God gave Paul the revelation? Amen. So they that seem to be what somewhat in conference add nothing to me, Paul said. But that's years and years ago, and now we are over here at the fulfillment of it, right here when the things are really coming to pass, Brother Sweden. There ain't never been a day like today. Now somebody said, Brother Pike, Brother Byron's day was the greatest day there ever was. It was a great day. I admit it was a great day. Elijah's day was a great day. Great day, but this is a better day. Somebody said, how can you prove it? Because Solomon, the Bible said the scriptures can't be broken, and Solomon said the end of a thing has got to be better than the beginning. Amen. So this is the end of it. 7 years aside of Brother Branham, it's got to be better than what it was when Brother Branham was here. And it's got to be better than what it was when Peter was here, Elijah and the others. I love those wonderful things back there, but my dear God, what a day we're living in. Amen. What a day we're living in. Moses had sure left understood what you understand. Somebody said, well, I believe Moses understood it. I don't believe he did. I don't believe it is, because the Bible said knowledge would increase. I don't believe Brother Branham understood what we're understanding. Now, I know I'd get a dispute out of that, but we're 7 years on this side of Brother Branham, and the Bible said knowledge would increase. And I believe it's increased. And I believe that we know more now than he did when he was here. A lot of things he felt like might happen, but today we've already seen them happen. We know that they're going to happen or have happened. Now then, in the teachings of this, notice that here, between the sixth and the seventh trumpet, as I started off the other night, between the second and the third woe, right in here was where all the excitement seemed to come in. The trumpets had sounded, many things had taken place, but in between the second and the third woe seemed to be where a great thing was taking place. Now, I know that a lot of people say that that angel that sounded was Brother Branham. They get so mixed up on those things till you don't hardly know where you're going. Some of them said he was Moses. Some said he was the seventh angel. Some said he was Joshua. Some said he was the angel of Revelation 10. Some said he was Jesus. Some said he was God. You don't know who he was. There's one thing about it. I believe he was a Christian. I believe he was the Son of God, or a Son of God in this day. I believe he was God for our age, manifested our age, the manifested God. I believe he was God sent to the people, just like Moses was God sent to the people. God said, Moses, I'll make you a God to the people. Is that right? I'll make you a God to Aaron and make Aaron your mouthpiece. I believe Brother Branham was God visiting his people in this age. But I believe that God comes in the form of humanity by measure. And though Brother Branham had one of the greatest measures of any man on earth in his day, yet I believe it was by measure. But Jesus, the Son of God, the Bible said he giveth not the Spirit by measure unto the Son, but all things is given into the hands of the Son. Now, I praise God for the great man of God, the King. I praise God because as a root in a dry land, as the writer said, if God had not left us a seed, we'd be like Sodom and Gomorrah. I praise God for that and the great things that I've been shown. I tell you, my cup runs over tonight, and my heart is full of rejoicing because I'm not mixed up out yonder in all of that confusion, trying to intellectually define a paper, a book, or argue with somebody or fuss with somebody and try to prove what's what when they don't even know themselves. But I praise God, Brother Sweden, for a revelation that shows the man of God and what he was and his purpose and what God is doing in this day, to where we don't have to be confused and don't have to fuss and fight. God is bringing a revelation in this hour of the revealed mind of Christ that we might come together, see eye to eye, speak the same thing, walk hand in hand, not break ranks. Is that right? The Bible said, when I bring Zion again, they will see eye to eye. Those people don't see eye to eye. They will walk hand in hand. Those people don't walk hand in hand. The Bible said they won't break ranks. Is that right? But those people break ranks. The Bible said they won't pierce each other through, but those people pierce each other through. Is that right? I will bring forth my mighty army, saith the Lord. And I'll tell you what, if this message that's coming forth right now don't bring unity, that don't cause people to see eye to eye, you don't have to come and ask me if I'm a false prophet, and you don't have to be afraid to call me one. Amen, because it will do it. It absolutely will do it, and it'll rapture the church besides. Hallelujah. From glory to glory, there is something taking place. This is the thing that Brother Bannon spoke of. It's the thing that Brother Paul spoke of. It's the thing that Jesus spoke of. It's the thing that has been projected down to us from all generations. It's the thing that come to pass at Calvary that we're just now comprehending the fullness of. Brother JT's preached this thing for years. Brother Ted, other ministers here have preached it for years. Brother Branham preached it. Paul preached it. I preached it. Others have preached it. But my brother and sister, we're all seeing it more plainly than ever before. We're seeing the fulfillment of it, and we're seeing this thing come to pass that God promised that he would do. Is that right? I will in the last days, saith the Lord, pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Is that right? Somebody said, Brother Pike, do you believe that that's the day that we're living in? My brother, according to the Bible, at Pentecost, that was the day. That was the day. Somebody said, but he said the last days. That was the last days. The Bible said, you're the people upon whom the end of the world have come. That was the last days. You say, can you prove it by the Bible? The Bible said, and this is that the prophet Joel said would come to pass. In the last days, saith the Lord. That was Peter 2,000 years ago. Now, can you put it together? God gave us a preview so that it would come to pass in the end time. He gave us a preview. The water witness, how many of you remember what I said the other night? The water witness in the days of Noah, when God washed the earth with water. Is that right? The blood witness in the days of Jesus, when God washed all human anatomy with blood. Is that right? And then the spiritual witness that came shortly after Calvary was too close together because God intended it for the days that we're living in. And so he just gave a preview of it. And to keep from rapturing the church before the multiplication of the kingdom is finished, God just closed it out in the dark age and brought it back over here in this day. This is the days of Pentecost. Hallelujah. That was only a preview of it. But brother, this is Pentecost. Hallelujah. That was to the Jews over there. This is to let whosoever will over here. Hallelujah. What a grand and a glorious day. The Spirit is being poured out in our day. Pentecost is coming down, and the tongues of fire. I know that when we think of tongues of fire, what we think of, you know, is speaking in other tongues. That's the first thing we think of. Somebody said tongues of fire, Brother Pike. You're talking about speaking in other tongues. That wasn't the tongues of fire God was speaking of. Tongues of fire is the mouth of revelation when God himself, a consuming fire, speaks. I'll make my ministers a flame of fire, he said. That's the tongues of fire. Hallelujah. When he sets that thing on fire and you can't keep it in your mouth, you got to talk. Hallelujah. I don't mean set on fire of hell, but I'm talking about set on fire of heaven. Hallelujah. Some folks' tongues are set on fire of hell, the Bible said. But I'm talking about them that set on fire of heaven. Is that right? How many of you know that some people are the gates of heaven? Is that right? The Bible said, lift up yourself, ye everlasting gates, the King of glory come in. But the Bible said some people are the gates of hell too. Is that right? Every time they open up the gates, out of that comes evil. Out of that comes gossip. Out of that comes demons. But when we open our mouth, holy angels go in and out from the kingdom within, and you get a blessing and the reign of heaven comes. Is that right? The Bible said the doors will be shut to the Gentile church, and when we close our bowels of compassion to where we won't fast and won't pray and won't seek God, then the doors is closed to the world. They cannot come to God except through you. There's no way. And brother, the bowels of compassion are closing up. Did you know that? So then, there at Pentecost, we had a little discussion about it not too long ago. Why was it? Let's just take a thought here just for a minute. Why was it that the tongues came on the day of Pentecost? I've heard a lot of things said about it, but why was it that they come? It was one reason. That was to keep the Jews from having a monopoly on God. It was to keep the Jews from having a monopoly on God. How many of you know that the Jews had a monopoly as far as they was concerned? They had a monopoly on God before Pentecost. Is that right? The Jews did. Everybody was dogged because salvation was of a Jew. Even Jesus confessed that salvation is of a Jew. Said, you folks don't know what you worship, but we know what we worship because salvation is of the Jew. Is that right? And so the Jews had a monopoly on it. Even old Peter, Brother Sweden, we went down there, he didn't like the idea of going down there to the Gentiles. He thought it was a bunch of dogs. God said, don't call them dogs. Don't call that common unclean and I clean. I don't want you to do that, Peter. Is that right? Now then, what were the tongues for? He wanted to let them know that he was the God of the Hebrews. He was the God of the Gentiles. The Bible said Jews, devout Jews, from out of under every nation under heaven. Is that right? All of them over there. But every one of them had drifted off with another nationality to represent what God was doing. Is that right? Hallelujah, one Jewish seed of a nation falling into the ground that it might pass through the dark ages to reproduce a harvest of many nations in the end time of a spiritual Jew. Is that right? And here they were speaking in tongues. What kind of tongues? They said he's speaking in my language. Hallelujah. Pardons, Elamites, Zalak, Brezans, Pillars of Mesopotamia, all of those different kind of people. And somebody said, my, I said, God's a German. Somebody said, no, he's a Japanese. Somebody said, both of you's wrong, he's an Indian. Hallelujah. God speaks every man's language. You ever heard that? Old saying, so that fellow talks my language. Well, God talks your language. God wanted them to know that he could talk their language. He wasn't just a Jew. He could speak their language. He's the God of all languages. Hallelujah. He's the God of all the earth. That's why he came in tongues, to let them know that he was the God of all creation. Nobody had a monopoly on God. Isn't that wonderful? The Baptist can't do it, and the Methodist can't do it, and the Presbyterian can't do it. Back down the days of the water, how many remember when Jacob and them went about opening up the wells? Dug a well over here and somebody got it, and he dug a well over yonder and somebody got it, and he dug a well over yonder and somebody got it, dug another well and somebody got it. And before he got discouraged, he just kept having faith in God. Just kept pushing on, isn't that right? Dig a well over here and the Lutherans get it, and you dig a well over here and the Methodists get it, and you dig a well over here and the Baptists get it, and you dig another well and the Pentecostals get it. But after a while, he dug a well and nobody didn't want it. Hallelujah. He said, there's a place for us in the land now. And the Bible said the last well was the best one. Hallelujah. Praise God, the best well of water. That angel come to my brother the other day in a vision. He said three angels visited him and said, one of the angels said to him, said, hey, he said, y'all got a church out there, haven't you? He said, yeah. He said, you know, sir, there's one thing you've got out there. So that sure is a fine well of water you got out there. Hallelujah. Like the vision said to me, said, name that well Mizpah. Over there where Jacob crossed over Jordan and they judged Israel. Samuel judged Israel. That well, is that right? How many know that when Jesus came over there to talk to that woman, he had to do it according to allegory pattern? The Bible said it was the land of Sychar that Jacob had given to Joseph, the same well. Is that right? Amen. Stood there at Joseph's well, looked at that woman and told her all about herself. Is that right? In other words, said in essence, the church ages is over. The Messiah's here. Said, we're looking for the Messiah. He said, oh, hell, he. Hallelujah. Praise God. Something's really taking place. Amen. Here, the thing took place here. The sounding of the last trump. And the mistress was finished. And immediately, the Bible said immediately. Can you fathom that? Immediately, this thing, just as quick as it was finished, the Bible said that this man-child was caught up. I tell you what, that makes me feel like dancing an Indian dance. Hallelujah. Just as quick as it was finished, the Bible said the man-child was caught up. Amen. Somebody said, oh, what a day that will be. Oh, my, what a day this is. What a day this is. Hallelujah. Somebody said, something's going to happen. I believe it. Amen, I believe it. You say, what do you think's going to happen? I believe people's going to realize what happened. Something's going to take place. You say, what's going to take place? We're going to begin to realize what took place. Hallelujah. That's what's going to happen. Is we're going to begin to realize what took place. Just think about it now. Immediately, just immediately, things begin to fall into place. Just immediately, that man-child was caught up. Now, can I say something here just for a few minutes and take my time talking with you? Now, thinking of a present-day truth, now I'm convinced, Brother J.T., that there is no ministry that can interpret itself except the ministry of Christ Himself. There has never been a ministry in the Old Testament nor in the New Testament that ever interpreted itself except Christ. He was the only one that saw always what the Father did and knew where He was going, knew where He had been, and knew what He was going to do. Is that right? Hallelujah. Never been a ministry except that ministry. Now, I can look back in the Old Testament. I can interpret Joseph's life. I can tell you why he went to the dungeon and what it represents, why he went down the land of Egypt and those kind of things. But Joseph didn't know. Joseph didn't know. But in the day that we're living in, we know where we're going and we know what we're doing and we know why we're doing it. That's because it's the body of Christ. It's the mind of God that's in you today. The only one that ever interpreted its own life was Jesus Christ. And you're the members of that body tonight. It's a truth fact that in the day or the hour that we're living in, that the man-child is being caught up. Do you believe it? How many of you believe that the church ages is over? I believe it. You say, Brother Pike, you don't believe there's anything else to the church ages. I don't mean that you're just shut out. I don't mean that. But it's a true fact that Paul had a revelation. Is that right? I preached the other night that he was the apostle to the Gentile church, that he had the revelation. Is that right? If he had the revelation, then if what I've got don't agree with it, there's something wrong with me. Because he said, though an angel come from heaven and tell you anything else, then it's not God. Is that right? If it don't agree with what I've said, Paul said. All right, now then, if that's true, then Paul had a revelation. What was the revelation? Paul said, if the casting away of the Jew be the reconciling of the world, what will the receiving of the Jew be but life from the dead? Is that right? Was that his revelation? I said, I'd sure love to know how he knew that. I said, how in the world did he ever find that out? I said, how did he know that going back to the Jews is going to be the resurrection of the dead? And one day God took me into spiritual revelation, and he showed me that those Jews was a representation of the body of Christ that died here at Calvary, and I brought it out the other night that those Jews were the scapegoat for the Gentile. That Christ was the head of the scapegoat. Paul had a revelation, and that revelation was that they was the scapegoat. The many-membered scapegoat that went to the head, which was the scapegoat. How many of you know that in the Old Testament that they always took that hide that come off of that scape, that goat over there, when they kill one goat like Jesus dying here? Somebody said, Brother Pike, do you mean to tell me that was a goat? That was a lamb. But the Bible said he was made sin. Is that right? Hallelujah. He was made sin. Is that right? Now then, what happened? They always took that skin and gave it to the priest. Isn't that right? Yeah. Had to be a scapegoat. Hallelujah. Somebody said, what are you trying to say? When he came over there in the garden, he put them on skins. Isn't that right? I've been in one ever since. Hallelujah. Have you? Praise God. He came over there and he put them on skins. Fig leaves wasn't good enough. Put them on some skin. Hallelujah. What about it? according to the Bible, here at Calvary, here's a scapegoat. Here at Calvary, what was he doing? He had to kill something. Had to kill something. We found out the other night the explosion from the garden here. He had to kill something. Something had to take place. Why? Because there had to be a garment. Had to be something to put on. Had to be somebody killed. Had to be a scapegoat. We were naked. Found naked. Brother Coon, naked. Not having the garments of righteousness. Not having the blood-stained vesture. Had to be something to die. Amen, because of our sins, is that right? Something had to die. That's why the Jews was a scapegoat. That's why it's called the body of Christ today. They symbolize the many-membered body of Jesus Christ in the natural, is that right? They symbolize the body of the Lord Jesus. Somebody said, I don't believe it. They put over that, right up here at the head of the cross, it said, King of the Jews. Said, don't say he was King of the Jews. Said, say that he said he was King of the Jews. Pilate said, what I've written, he's King of the Jews. Amen. Said, you crucified your king. Pilate knew that was a king. He knew that that was God's son. He knew it. After he talked to him, he knew that was God's son. He didn't want to crucify him. When that woman come over and said, don't you do anything to that just man. Said, this day I suffered many things in her dream because of him. Said, don't you mess with him. He knew that, and they tell me that Pilate died trying to wash the blood off his hand, crying and screaming like a maniac trying to wash the blood off of his hand. Isn't that right? Now then, had to be a scapegoat. Sin, people found in sin, had to have a garment of covering, had to put on something. Isn't that right? Take it out of the side of Adam and had to go back inside. Is that right? Had to get back inside of that which was taken out of. Amen. Why? They had to have a covering. Hallelujah. That's where the trouble started. When the woman got out of Adam, that started the trouble. Somebody said, I don't believe it. Adam was doing all right till he took her out. There ain't no record where there's no trouble, Brother JT, till he took her out. Somebody said, well, he took her out right away. I don't know. Adam had been around there a long time. Said he named all the animals, and that's a pretty big job. Amen. Is that right? Wasn't no trouble till he took her out. When he took her out, then the trouble started. Is that right? It's the same way today. The trouble is in the world. Today, there had to be a scapegoat. Had to be something done here. Had to be a garment to put on. God had to look at that bloody vesture of the Jew going through the dark age, killed by Eichmann, run over because of sin while we go free. Oh, my brother and my sister, I want to tell you something tonight. And when I say this, I speak as unto America. I speak as unto the world tonight. If they could be here tonight and hear what I'm saying. I speak as unto the world tonight. Just as quick as God can get these saints of God and pick these saints of God up, don't you ever think that you're going to escape because the Jews was a scapegoat for you. The Jews was a scapegoat to give you a period of grace so that you could repent of your sins. But they were a permanent scapegoat for the saints of God. And just as quick as this thing's over, you're going to go through the same thing through tribulation that they went through for you. Amen. You're going to have to face it for yourself. Tonight, Paul said, I'm dead. I'm buried with Christ. I'm dead, buried in baptism with the Lord Jesus Christ. Not I that live, but Christ that lives within me. The life I now live, I live by the Son of God. Is that right? Tonight, it's not me that's living. It's not my body tonight. Somebody said, Brother Pike, what are you talking about? The Bible said, I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. I'm bone. Somebody said, well, I can't see how that you're in heaven when the Bible said that flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of heaven. But the Bible said he that's born the spirit of spirit. Hallelujah. Bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And the Bible said he was a quickening spirit. Is that right? When he come up out of the grave, they said he's flesh and bones. The Bible said the second man out of was a quickening spirit. Is that right? Hallelujah. That's why the Bible would drive Trinity's crazy and oneness crazy and all the rest of them crazy. The Trinity said there has to be three of them, and the Bible said these three are one. Is that right? In Jesus' name, people, that is, those that don't understand say that God was a spirit when the Bible said God was made flesh. Is that right? And when he came up out of the grave over there, they said that Jesus Christ was God, that he was a spirit, and Jesus said, flesh and bones I have, but a spirit don't have flesh and bone. Drive you crazy. You have to know what's being said. Somebody said Jesus was God. Jesus stood there and him looking at him said, you've never seen his image at any time. And they stand there looking at him. If he was God, then why was it he said to him, said, you ain't never seen his image. They stand there looking at him. Said, you've never seen his image at any time. Hallelujah. There's one thing for sure and for certain. There is an answer. There's got to be an answer. You love the Lord? There's got to be an answer. This man child was caught up. And I said the other night when the physicians came in, the child was being born through the headship of the birth, running down through the church ages. The last thing Daniel said that the image was smitten in his feet. If it's running a parallel, running adjacent, then that means the feet of the man child and the finishing up of mistress was the final analysis. Is that right? And it means that the physicians have preached the word for 2,000 years. They've worked with the woman through the travail of the dark age to bring forth the man child. Is that right? I preached the other night on the replacement of Abel. How that God replaced him with Seth. How that Abel was the natural Jew and Seth was the spiritual Jew. Is that right? Brought it out the other night, the explosion from the garden right here. Now you say, what are you trying to say? I say that just as quick as the mistress was finished, the man child was caught up. Come on, folks. You know what I'm saying. I know some of you don't understand what I'm saying, but I know some of you's bound to know what I'm saying. You say, I don't believe what you're saying. Well, I'll tell you one thing. You don't believe what Brother Brown taught. You don't believe what you told me that you believe. You told me you believe what the man taught. Now you got me confused. What are you talking about? I mean, you said Brother Branham was the angel that sounded the last trumpet. Is that right? Come on now. Somebody said he was the last messenger. That he sounded the last trumpet. Is that right? Then they say he finished the mysteries. Is that right? The Bible said the man child was caught up into heaven when the mysteries was finished. Is that right? Well, where's the man child tonight? Either you don't know what you're talking about or you don't believe what you're talking about. And somebody's wrong. Somebody's wrong. Brother JT's been preaching around here that we're in heaven. And you look at him with a hollow expression. And yet you said you believe what Brother Branham taught. Where are we tonight? Heaven. How do you feel you're in heaven tonight? The way some of you people dress and the way some of you acted, you told me that you made heaven. I'll never believe it. You can't convince me. Hallelujah. You love the Lord? Praise God. Amen. Say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about this. When that last man preached the last message, whoever he was, when the mistress was finished, they said, what mystery? The mystery of godliness. When the mystery was finished, when the last preacher preached the last sermon, and the last bit of the mysteries of godliness was finished, which was the inheritance from Calvary, then the man child was to be caught up. Is that right? Then what happened? Come on now. What took place? When the man child was caught up in heaven, what happened? When he went up, this went out. Is that right? Satan went out. When the man child went up, Satan went out. Then what did the Bible say? Somebody said, where is the power in the church? Where is the strength in the church? Why can we can't do nothing in the church? Said, because the accuser of the brethren day and night, standing before God, accuses them. Is that right? But the Bible said when the man child went up, he took his rod of iron. Is that right? He picked up his rod of iron. Amen. He just sat back till the tribulation passed by and then the throne of God was presented. And he said, all nations will do obeisance unto this. Is that right? If you don't, there won't be any rain on your crops. Is that right? Is that Bible? Said the man child went up. What was it? Said at the same time the mistress was finished that the man child went up. Is that right? Are you listening? Then went Satan from his kingdom. Then was Satan cast out of heaven. Why was Satan cast out of heaven? Somebody tell me, why was he cast out? Then Satan was cast out of heaven right here at Calvary. Jesus said, behold, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. That's where Jesus said it was finished. This generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled, which was Calvary. Is that right? I finished it, Jesus said right here. Is that right? Everything was finished. What was he doing? Right here's where Satan went out. That's right. Friends, from Calvary there is no more sickness. From Calvary there's no more defeat. From Calvary there's no more poverty. from Calvary, we're sons of God. John said from Calvary. Now, beloved, are you the sons of God? From Calvary is where New Jerusalem came down. The stones descending out of heaven. Is that right? Hallelujah. Is that right? That was where the tabernacle of God was with men. John said, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. Is that right? The world don't see it because the beast, brute beast, the Bible said, made to be taken in fire and said, those beasts blaspheme the name of the tabernacle, which was Jesus. Those beasts are the ones that did it. Is that right? Beasts that did it. Gossipers, long tongues, blaspheming the name of Jesus Christ. Blaspheming the tabernacle, saying this about the member, that about the member, something else about the member. The old beast man working and gossiping, blaspheming, speaking against the tabernacle. Come on, somebody say amen. But the Bible said God's in his tabernacle, in his temple. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost. Let all the world keep silent. Is that right? Let them keep silent. Now, what did it say happened? The Bible said that when this came out, this came out. You know what? Folks, Satan is a spirit. How many of you know that? Satan, when he is in the spirit, he's in heaven. How many of you know that? Now then, he has to be cast out of the spirit. Is that right? How many of you know that God is a spiritual word? Is that right? Then that means Satan is a spiritual word. It means that God is a knowledge. And Satan is a knowledge. What kind of a knowledge? Look over there at the seals and see. When he started riding in the seals, so that rider was riding and said he had a bow. Is that right? Said he set upon a white horse and had a bow. What kind of a bow? The same kind of bow that they had back there in the days of Noah. In the days of Noah, they took the bow, and that was what they used back there as the covenant. Is that right? Behold, I set my bow in the clouds. Is that right? I set my bow in the clouds. What is the clouds? He said, I'll return in clouds of glory. When Jesus hung like that at the cross, who can deny that was Joseph's coat of many colors? Had being bloodstained, being spotted right there with the sins of the red man, the white man, the black man. Is that right? And the thieves gambling for the coat. And what was it they said when they went to the Father? Said the beast killed him. Is that right? God said, I'll accept the testimony because you said that the beast killed him. Was it the beast? Was it the Catholics that killed him? Is that right? Was it the Roman powers that killed him? Was it the Bruce Beat that killed him? Was it the mind of Satan that killed him? It come from the beast. That's what it was. They went and took the coat back and said to the father over there, said that's what happened. Took him just like Joseph and put him down in the pits. But there's one thing about him, when they put him down in prison, it wasn't long before he had the keys to the place. Hallelujah. Put him down there and they thought he had him defeated, and it wasn't long before he had the keys to the place. Jesus stood up over there and said, I've got the keys. Hallelujah. I've got the keys tonight. Hallelujah. Come out there victorious and told him he had the keys. Is that right? Here, right here at Calvary, this is what I'm speaking of. The bow, the Ark of the Covenant. That's why I keep speaking about Revelation 10. The Bible said the rainbow was upon his head. Hallelujah. Is that right? Thought about old Brother Branham when he come down that pillar of fire. He spoke about the beautiful colors of it. Is that right? Came down, somebody said, what are you trying to say? Well, just listen now. Said one, come down the rainbow over his head. What other man ever predicted the end of the world that way? Whatever man ever brought it right there. Somebody said, what are you saying? I'm saying that he saw the pillar of fire over your head. He saw it over my head. He saw it over the other's head. Is that right? Why did he see it? Because that angel that come down right there was the Lord Jesus Christ. That was Calvary. That was Calvary. And you're Christ tonight. You're the bodies, the members. And when he looked around, he saw it over you. Because it said that he came down. Hallelujah, that he had the rainbow over his head. Clouds, I'll return clouds. Paul spoke of the clouds of great witness, whereas he come back, as there had been compassed about with such a great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every sin that does so easily beset us. Run with patience the race that is set before us. Is that right? Hallelujah. What was it here? Revelation 10, when this angel came down over here and began to talk about those thunders, something took place. Somebody said, I'd sure love to know what was in those thunders. I tell you what, it ain't no trouble to know if you know what the thunders was. Hallelujah. Praise God. Somebody said, what you talking about? Brother Neil Frisbee out in Arizona, he said he's got them. Said he's got them. Is that right? What does it mean? Now, this might get a little bit confusing. Just hold on to your seat. Somebody said, well, said, don't you know that in them thunders over there, Brother Pike, said, when he preached the thunders over there, said, that's what's going to rapture the church. He said, because the message that's in the thunder is going to rapture the church. Well, I tell you what, if that be the condition of it, or be the way of it, the way that you're telling it, it's going to be mighty confusing. Come on, somebody say amen, or owe me a something. I said, it's going to be mighty confusing if that's the way it is. You say, why? Because we're over here in Revelation 10, and back over here in Revelation 4, the church was raptured and went out according to what you said. Come on, let's get together now. Somebody got to know where they're going. The blind lead the blind, they all fall in the ditch. There's got to be an answer. What is it here in Revelation 10? Here this angel came down with the rainbow over his head. Is that right? The Bible said he had the covenant. Over here when this white horse rider started, what did he do? The Bible said he had a bowl. What kind of bowl? A religious bowl. Amen. He went forth to conquer. Satan wanted to conquer. Conquer with what? With the mind of religion. That's what he did. Took the bowl. Why? He has to antitype what God does. He has to do what God done. God said, I set my bow in the clouds. Satan just decided, if you set your bow there, I'll get me a bow too. Jesus said, I'll ride a white horse. Satan said, I'll ride one too. Amen. Whatever you do, I'm going to do it too. Hallelujah. But praise be unto God for one thing. The Bible teaches that when that white horse rider went out right here, though he had a bow, though he had a white horse, he went out to conquer, that right? And though he had a crown, the Bible doesn't call him the mighty conqueror, does it? The Bible said in Revelation 19 that when Jesus went out, he didn't have a crown, he had many crowns. He had crowns upon his head. He was a conqueror, hallelujah. A conqueror of poverty, a conqueror of fear. He was the mighty conqueror. He was the great Christ. Hallelujah. So then here, what brought the power? What brought the authority? Right here at Calvary when Satan was cast out. There's no more sickness. There's no more poverty. That's why ministers preach deliverance. That's why a man comes in town with an evangelistic ministry and preaches a divine healing campaign. Because somebody said, what is he trying to tell me? Somebody said, he's going to heal me. He's not going to heal you. All he's going to do is tell you what God's already done. The Bible said he sent his word and healed him. You believe Jesus was the word? Is that right? By stripes you were healed. Is that right? All they're trying to do is depart you to your benefits, that's all. David said, oh, my soul, forget not all the benefits that God's given me. We're just trying to tell you the benefits. Is that right? If your father died and the lawyer came along and told you your benefits and told you what was in the will, would you want to take possession of it? Is that right? All you got to do is believe it. That's right. That's true. Now then you say, well, what's the trouble? If Satan was cast out over here at Calvary, the Bible said, here comes strength. Is that right? Here comes power. Is that right? All of the glory in the church. Is that right? Over here at Calvary, you say, if it happened over there, then why didn't we get it? Because you wouldn't believe it. You wouldn't believe it. Come on. You wouldn't believe it. That's where the trouble was. They didn't believe it. Is that right? How many of you believe it? Like Brother Branham, when he was under the anointing and working up there, he said, if thou canst believe. If thou canst believe, is that right? Said it will have nothing to do with the gift. Said if you can believe, said it were. Come on, say amen. What does it mean right here, Calvary? Coming out of Calvary right here, that fellow was cast out. He lost his power. He lost his strength. He lost his dominion. Is that right? He stood there. There had never been a man on earth that he hadn't gotten into his heart. There had never been a woman on earth for what he'd gotten to his heart. But my brother, he had tried everything he could to get into the heart of Christ. He tried everything he could to put a spot or a blemish on there. But when he stood there, I'm satisfied that he looked upon Calvary, and there as he stood, he was trembling and shaking and thinking, there's one man I've never been able to spot. I've never been able to put a blemish on him. I've never been able to have a place in him, because Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh and he hath no place in me. Don't give place to the devil. Said, he ain't got no place in me. Satan stood there, Brother J.T. He knew he was defeated. He knew the Lamb of God had come. He knew that he was defeated. He knew that he couldn't stand the heavenly places any longer, so out he went. Is that right? Out he went. Somebody said, well, why does he give me so much trouble? Because you don't believe he's out. Amen. Is that right? The Bible teaches that God took the sting out of death. Is that right? He took the sting out of death. Is that correct tonight? My brother, tonight, the reason you can't get away from it is because you don't believe it. Is that right? Take a bully. Let a bully run around and you might be able to whip him. But if you don't believe it, he'll bully you all of his life. Is that right? The thing to do is rise up and give the devil a whipping. Just say, look here, fella, I'm a son of God. What are you doing over here? You're a squatter. You're a trespasser. You got to get off of my property. I'm a son of God. Is that right? Somebody said, that sounds good. It's better than that. It is good. Hallelujah. The Bible said, taste and see if it's good. Hallelujah. Why was it he was cast out right here? Them evangelists have been preaching for years. That's why that Satan has been able to turn this thing into a money thing. Get around here like the Catholics, Brother JT. They sell everything they got. That's right, they sell. They have learned that we're in the days of grace. And in the days of grace, they don't have to live right to get a miracle. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves. That's right, they don't have to live right to get a miracle. Is that right? How many of you know that that's the truth? They don't have to live right to get a miracle. The Bible said they can transform themselves by the renewing of their mind, Paul said, into ministers of the word which he called light. Is that right? Get up and preach a sermon to you. Sell everything they can sell you, from their socks to the shoestring. Is that right? Take everything you got. Get you to believe. You get a miracle. And they didn't do nothing. They just excited your faith like them people was doing last night. And I don't mean that wrong. Running and jumping and hollering and screaming last night. Working themselves up into frenzy. And some of y'all just are hollering and screaming. And I can't even get you to say amen hardly when the word comes forth. I said last night, I said, God, as sure as I'm living, I said, when the word comes forth, then people ain't going to pay no attention to it. And they didn't as a whole. I said, not only that, but some of them people, them singers, is going to get up and get out of here because it's a show thing. They did. They did. That's right. Folks, that's why you need to get right with God. If you don't get in the right thing, if you don't get in the Word, you're going to get in something. That's right. You mean to tell me that singing and music is the thing that we ought to shout by? I can't believe that. I can't believe that. If the Lord Jesus Christ would have been here last night, and I know he was here, but if he had been here in a little more boldness, and some of us would... I'll not say that. Well, that's what he would have done anyway. Amen. That's right. I believe it. I believe it. I believe if he'd have sure put up a protest last night, folks. God would not have tolerated that thing last night. Now, you can rest assured by the help of the good Lord, they won't ever do that no more down here. One time is sufficient. That's all. Hey, love the Lord. When this fellow went out, the Bible said you've got strength. Is that right? Jesus taught he went out here at Calvary. Is that right? That's why there was a preview of Pentecost. To let you know that it was effective right then. How many of you know the Bible said this is that the prophet Joel said would come to pass? How many of you know that Peter stood up and said this is the promise that was given to Abraham to his seed? Is that right? Is that right? How many of you know that it was so powerful that when it went into the heart of the earth that it caused a resurrection? Is that right? That the saints of God got up out of the grave and walked through the town. Now, why did they do it? Because they'd already paid the price, death. And when the Holy Ghost went down there to them, they did not have to pay the price, death. They had already paid it. They were already dead. And when the Holy Ghost went down there, all they had to do was come forth. Is that right? Somebody said, well, what do you mean by that? I mean that they had to pay the price of death themselves to get into heaven. But I praise God because Jesus paid the price of death for me that I might be in heaven tonight. Amen. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we all shall go to heaven. Amen. Be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, somebody said that was the last trump. Come on. I said that by 70 the church lights would be well on their way out. Is that right? Brother Branham's gone. Brother Allen's gone. The voice of healing's gone. Come on, is that right? I said that by 70 the church lights would be well on their way out. Is that right? Brother Branham's gone. Brother Allen's gone. The voice of healing's gone. Come on, is that right? Billy Graham's gone. Is that right? And the spoken word is rocking. Is that right? Is that right? What is it? The lights have gone out. Why? Because the church age messenger, when the church ages was over, what was to be? Gross darkness covered the people. Is that right? Is that right? Gross darkness was coming after the lights went out. Is that right, Bro JT? After the church lights went out, gross darkness was to come in. Isn't that right? Now then, if that be so, at the finishing of the mistress, what happened to the man-child? Somebody, they say, well, did God leave him down there in the dark? Did God leave him down there in the dark? Come on. Did God leave him down there in the dark when the lights went out? I don't believe he did. I don't believe he did. Tell me something. This woman was up in heaven. I brought a few things out on this the other night. This woman was up in heaven. She had her foot on the moon. Is that right? When the man child was born now, she had her foot on the moon. All right? Remember, having the foot on the moon, I want you to listen close now. Here, the man child caught up to the throne. Is that right? Now, the woman before he was born, where did she have her feet? Now, some of you know what I'm saying. Where did she have her feet? Let's just see if it fits together now. See if it fits together. The church age is gone out. The light's gone out. The voice of healing gone out. Gordon Lindsay dead. Is that right? Said at that time the woman had a foot on the moon. Is that right? How many believe America, the woman nation? How many believe she's got a foot on the moon, been emphasizing the footprints? How many believe she's in hard travail right now, trying to bring forth a government, which is the Antichrist? Is that right? Trying to bring forth the false man-child. Is that right? Bringing forth the ruler, which is the Pope of Rome, that ruled with a rod of iron in his day. Is that right? Got her feet on the moon. Is that right? Come on. Said at that time the red dragon was laying in there. Is that right? How many believe China's that dragon nation? Red communism laying in there trying to overthrow the government of the United States. Is that right? Laying right in there because she's standing on the moon. Isn't that right? Wait, why? Because a man-child is going to be born. How many believe this? Paul said that all of the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are understood by the things which do appear. How many believe that every time something natural happens, something spiritual is taking place? You believe that? Hallelujah. You say, can you prove it? The Bible said in the last days the young men have visions. The television come out. Has to be that way. That means that if America is in travail, and she's got a foot on the moon, then there's one other place they want to get to. Where's that at? You ever read about climbing Jacob's ladder? How many of you notice what they're doing with the satellites and different things? The launching pads. How many of you know that they're still reaching up? They haven't got to the moon, but they're still reaching up. You know why? The Bible said the woman was on the moon. Is that right? But the man-child couldn't stay there. He was looking for higher ground. He was looking for higher ground. Had to get higher than that. The Bible said the moon had turned to blood. I want you to tell me here. This woman was on the moon. We agree to that. And the man-child was caught up to the throne. We agree to that, don't we? Then, but the Bible said that this woman was in heaven. Is that right? Is that right? Though thou climbest up to heaven, I'll cast thee down to heaven. Hell, though thou makest thy nest among the stars, from thence I'll cast thee down to hell. Is that Bible? The carnal mind, enmity with God, up here on the moon. Is that right? Cast thee down to hell. When they landed, they called it a nest, didn't they? All right, among the stars. Now, here's what I'm saying. This woman was in heaven. Is that right? But when the man-child was born, what happened to her? Come on, man. The Bible said that she was in heaven. Now, either the Bible lied, or either we've got to confess some things tonight. The Bible said that she was in heaven. Is that right? How many believe the first heaven, second heaven, and the third heaven? Said she was in heaven. All right, now then, if that woman was in heaven, it don't say anything about her being cast out, does it? Where in the Bible does it say she was cast out of heaven? It don't say that, does it? But it said Satan was cast out of heaven. Is that right? Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for he is among you. Is that right? All right, now if that be so, and the man-child caught up to heaven, and Satan came out of heaven, and the woman up here in heaven, then how was it that the woman was in the wilderness? Come on now. What was the woman doing in the wilderness? The Bible said she was in heaven. In the next chapter, the Bible said she's in the wilderness. I'm getting confused unless we get some things straightened out. How could she be in heaven, and how could she be in the wilderness at the same time? Is that right? I tell you what, how many believe in a denominational wilderness? How many believe Brother Branham left the church in the wilderness? Come on. Come on. Moses left the church in the wilderness. Now, somebody said, you mean to tell me you don't believe Brother Branham saw this? The Bible said he saw Canaan land. Is that right? How many of you remember when I made that statement that Martin Luther King was a type of black Moses, and they discovered him? How many of you know that they did discover it, published in the paper shortly after that? Brother Tom brought me the paper on him. And how many of you know that after that he stood right over there in Memphis and said, I've seen Canaan land, said, I've reached the top of the mountain and seen Canaan land. How many of you know that he went out just like Moses did? Is that right? Now, where was that at? That was right over there at the Mississippi River that we said was the type of Jordan. Is that right? Is that where Moses went out? Went up on the mountain, looked across Jordan, and then went out. Isn't that right? Somebody say amen. Amen. My, I wish we had time to say some things tonight. All right, now he said salvation's come. Now he said strength has come. Come on now. So the accuser of the brethren's gone. Is that right? God couldn't do nothing while he was accusing. Is that right? He loved old Job, but he couldn't do nothing about it. Satan said, you got to turn me loose on him. But one day he was to be cast out. You know why? Yeah, the Bible said that he was cast out of heaven. But the woman went into a wilderness. How did the woman go into a wilderness when she was in heaven? How did she do it? Come on, how did she do it? How did that woman go into a wilderness when the Bible said she was in heaven? How many believe that America is fixing to go into a wilderness? Somebody said, what do you mean a wilderness? Said she went there for how long? Come on, how long did she go there? Just the tribulation period, wasn't that right? How many believe America's fixing to hit the tribulation period? Said she went into the wilderness, is that right? Is that right? Yeah, in other words, just a little bit. But now remember what happened to Noah? Right over here, we brought it out the other night. Remember what happened right here? How many believe this was Noah? How many believe this was the days of Noah? Said this is the waters of Noah to me. Pitched him in the likeness of God, is that right? The ark was pitched, was that right? Inside and out. Jesus made inside and out in the likeness of God, is that right? Here's the ark. The ark had the door in the side, is that right? And the Bible said that in the cleft of the rock, when God came, that he put Moses in the cleft of the rock, put his hand over it like the fivefold ministry, is that right? And the glory passed by. Is that right? How did he see it? The hand had to be with it. Is that right? Right here. Here is the ark right here. Is that right? And the wrath of God poured out. Isn't that right? And then the raven came out because he was made sin. Is that right? When the body was spitting out, come Satan. There he is cast out of heaven right there. He that knew no sin was made sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Is that right? That was my body he nailed to the cross right there. You believe that? Say amen if you do. That's right. Amen. That's why Paul said, it's not I that live, but Christ that lives in me. The life I now live, I live as the Son of God. Everyone that be perfect shall be as his master, but no man shall be above his master. You believe it? Hallelujah. Right here. It went out. Satan went out. Sin was conceived in flesh. How many of you know this? The Bible said, in sin did my mother conceive me, and I was shapen in iniquity. Is that right? You say, what do you mean, shapen in iniquity? Made in the likeness of the beast. Somebody said, Brother Pat, we're made in the likeness of God. You don't believe that. You don't believe that. He said it was shapen in iniquity. Who ever heard of the shape of God being iniquity? Is that right? God was made like unto his fellow when he come down and took the shape of iniquity. Is that right? Was made sin for us. Are you listening tonight? And we'll close in just a few minutes now. Is that right? He had to get rid of the devil. Because Paul said, in my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. Come on, folks. Stay with me just a few minutes here. I'm trying to find out where we're living tonight. What was it right here? If the raven went out, if the raven got out of that body, the Bible said that sinful flesh was the cause of it. Is that right? That's why God put them on skins. Isn't that right? You believe that now? That if the raven was cast out of the flesh, Paul said inside I'm all right, but outside I'm not all right. For there's a law in my members. How many of you believe that the law goes back to the garden over there? How many believe that? Now, I was preaching over in Indiana, and I got along these lines a little ways, and a man jumped up in Indiana and said, that ain't true. I said, sir, you out of order. Sit down until finish, and then you can tell them what you think about it. He sat back down. What was it? The body right here. How many of you know that Israel, the worst thing ever happened to Israel was when they got the law? Do you believe that? The law killed them. Paul said, I was alive without the law. But when the law came, sin revived and I died. Is that right? Paul said, I delight after the things of God on the inside. I have a law of faith, Paul said. A law of hope on the inside. A law of grace on the inside. Is that right? I have a will on the inside. But how to perform it in the outward man, he said, I can't find. The good that I would do from the inward man, he said, I find, but the outward man, I don't do it. He said, the evil that I would not do concerning the outward man, he said, that's what I find I do. And he said, I find another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, the inner man, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin and death. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body, he said. Who shall deliver me from the flesh? Corruption in the flesh, shaping in iniquity, the beast image. Who can take away this beast image and restore me back in the same image that Adam was made in? Come on. The Bible said God made man in the image of God. Adam was made in the image of God. Is that right? Is that right? That was a God man. But my brother, that man wasn't born of a woman. You can say amen. That's why he wasn't shaped in iniquity. He was in the likeness of God. That's why he was called the Son of God. He was called the Son of God. Because he wasn't born of a woman. He was made of the Word. Is that right? That's why Jesus was called the second man, Adam. Because Adam was not in the transgression. But every person that's ever been born of a woman was conceived in sin and shapen in iniquity. Somebody say amen, that's right. Here is the sin. From the birth of the outer man, that's where the sin is. Is that right? It was the raven that was in the flesh. Paul said, in my flesh dwelleth the raven. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And when Jesus crucified the flesh, out went the raven. Is that right? He said, I saw him cast out. I saw him cast out. I wonder if you see what I see tonight. I saw him cast out. Whoa, 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 the angel said. Whoa to the inhabitants of the body. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Woe to them that are in the flesh and not in the spirit. Woe to them. For Satan is among you like a roaring lion. Is that right? Hallelujah. What are you talking about? I'm talking about the redemption of the body. Taking us 2,000 years to wit the redemption of the body. Taking us 2,000 years to realize the raven's gone out of it. Is that right? Except when they realized that the man-child was in heaven. All of a sudden he was in heaven. He suddenly recognized where he was. Is that right? Said, now's come strength. Now's come power. Now's come that which is in the kingdom of God. Here at Calvary, the raven was cast out. Made the statement the other night, when he went out, what happened? Here at Calvary, he went out. And then when he went out to them people out there where the wrath of God had fell upon him. People locking under waters, the waters pouring down. Found them twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Because God had cut them off at Calvary. Is that right? Jesus said it's finished, cut off. The foreknowledge of God manifested at last. The division set. The waters divided from the waters. And some waters was up in heaven and some waters below the heaven. Said he set a firmament in the midst of them, which was the heaven. Which was Calvary. Lifted up on the cross. And set it to where they couldn't cross over it. And said, there's no way to cross. Said, this great gulf is set there and said, I can't get to you and you can't get to me. Ain't no way you can get there. Separating them waters that was in them clouds floating around up there in heaven from them waters that was gravitational held down here in the seas. Is that right? For he put the waters above the firmament and below the firmament. Is that right? God, like Brother J.T. preached the other night, he gathered them all together in one place. Over there at Pentecost, like Brother Coon said today, said, I don't believe Brother J.T. understood what he said last night about that scripture. All gathered together at Pentecost. Is that right? He brought it out today about the waters being gathered together. Are you following me? I am going to close. I promise you I will. Just hold on just a few more minutes. Here's the raven. What happened to him? He went out. He found a place to stay, didn't he? The devil had a place to stay, didn't he? when he went out of the body of Christ right here. Somebody said he never was in the body of Christ. My brother, there is heaven, there is earth, and there is the place beneath. And God's mind comprehended the three parts, which was the ark. Is that right? And because of that, the Bible said the serpent crawled into the upper lintel. Is that right? But Jesus Christ cast him out of the upper lintel. That's what's wrong with the church tonight. He's done got in the ministry. He done got up in the upper lintel. It's time to cast him out. Right there. That's where he went out right there. Is that right? When he went out there to feed on them bodies that was floating around. Christ dead and plucked up by the root. He didn't come back in. But the Bible said when the Holy Spirit, which was the dove, went out, when the righteous man went out, when the body laid down, the dove went out. The Bible said it didn't find no place, isn't that right? Couldn't find no place. It couldn't feed off all that corruption. Brother J.T. said denominational corruption the other night. Couldn't feed off all that. What happened? When Pentecost was fully come, what happened? That was the many-membered body of the ark. Is that right? The resurrected body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that right? That dove just come back with a leaf from the tree of life, with eternal life just plucked and come right back in the ark, and he's been in here ever since. Hallelujah. So what do you mean? I mean from right here over the church ages, they closed the door on that ark and that thing just rolled right over the church ages. Picked up right over here, riding over this tribulation period. Going right on over the tribulation period where the wrath of God comes down, landing over the millennium, and all of us going to get out over there. It's coming. You say, what are you trying to say? I'm saying this one thing in essence right here, that if the raven went out of the body, then we don't inhabit the body. This is the body of Christ. Satan's not in this body. There ain't no place in this body for Satan. Hallelujah. The Bible said this body's hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens received. The Bible said that woman was in heaven. Is that right? And the Bible said when Satan went out there, then must come strength and power. Why can't we believe in Calvary? Why don't we believe in our inheritance? Why can't we believe we pass from death unto life? Why can't we believe it? Satan's gone out. We're not inhabitants of the body. Paul said, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Is that right? We pass from death unto life. We're in heaven, Jesus said. That's why, because the man-child was caught up to heaven. When Satan went out, the man-child was caught up to heaven. Is that right? That's why the resurrection took place over there, to show us the beginning of it. Over here at the sounding brass trumpet was the end of it, to show us what was happening, the same resurrection, the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, over which the second death had no power. Somebody said, Brother Pike, when that resurrection come, I'm going to be in it. Jesus come over there to the tomb. Did he? Come over there to the tomb. Martha and Mary said, if you'd just been here, just been here. Said, my brother wouldn't have died. Jesus said, will he live again? She said, when the resurrection come. He said, I want you to know it's here. It just got here. I said, it just come. It just come. It just got here. Hallelujah. Jesus said, according to your faith, so be it unto you. That's why Enoch went away, said it was translated by faith. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let a minister go out here and start preaching revival. Then people can be dead, but he'll resurrect them. Is that right? Because he is the resurrection. Let a man walk up to out here among the dead, the living among the dead. Let him walk up there. Start talking about Jesus, and 4 or 5 will get around. After a while, there'll be a resurrection. You can feel his presence come down. Is that right? Hallelujah. Somebody will give their heart to God and say, oh, my dead one just come to life. Is that right? The resurrection, hallelujah. Pass from death unto life. Right here, the raven went out. That dove right now, look here what happened just for a few minutes. I believe in my heart. This is my conviction. That the devil is nothing more than a bluff. I believe that with all my heart. I've had him to back me in the corner, Brother J.T., many times. But I had a vision where he backed me up and he got me afraid. And finally, I got a hold of God. And I started to walk in toward him and he just busted and broke to pieces. Satan did it. I told him in a vision, I said, I'm not going to be afraid of you. You pushed me around long enough. And I started to walk, and he got afraid. As long as I backed up, he was brave. But when I walked forward, he got afraid. And finally just blew it up and went into nothing. All he is a bluff. That's all he is. Hallelujah. Now listen right quick as I close here. Now you say, what are you trying to get at? Jesus said. Now come on, folks, just for a few more minutes. In the garden, is this true? In the garden, man was in the presence of life. But everything orbits around the sun. Is that right? Nothing could escape the sun. Scientists say the earth would freeze over if it ever got away from the sun. Is that right? Everything has to orbit around the sun because it's the type of the word, the great light. Everything orbits around God's word. Is that right? When God said, thou shalt surely die, that's all we've ever done is orbit around that. Every star different than glory, every planet orbit around the great light. Is that right? In the heavens we're speaking of. Is that right? From glory to glory. Oh, but it can't escape death. The day that thou eatest of, thou shalt surely die. I told my son, and you told your son, and he told his son, and they told their sons, thou shalt surely die. But the psalm said, tell your children and your children's children. Hallelujah. Is that right? For when Jesus came down, walked among us in the great light, robed himself in humanity, he walked down and he corrected what he had to do back in the garden. Is that right? He said, thou shalt surely die. Everybody believed it because faith can't escape the word. But when Jesus began to walk the earth, what did he do? He said, I've changed the situation. I've heard those who was appointed unto death. I looked down and loosed the prisoners of the earth that was appointed unto death. I accepted you in a day in security. Is that right? You have passed from death to life. He that believeth on me, though he was dead, yet shall he live. He that believeth in me shall never see death. Is that right? I'm persuaded to believe this. If the law brought sin and death, is that right? If the law brought sin and death because of condemnation, my sins being brought to my mind, if that brought death, and the only place it could work in was the body, because the law does have no power over the spirit. Can you listen to this a few more minutes? How many of you realize this? That God cannot judge you for sin in the flesh. Come on now. God cannot judge you for sin in the flesh. Somebody said, Bill Pike, that's wrong. Well, the Bible teaches it. You say, how does it teach it? Because the Bible said that we ourselves as the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly. It wasn't my desire to be like this. The Bible said God made us subject to it. He that subjected the same in hope, Christ, the hope of glory. Is that right? He subjected us to vanity for his own purpose. That is the outer man. If he judges me for sin in the flesh, then God would be guilty. Now, so how am I going to get around it? Because he'd done away with sin in the flesh. There is no such thing as sin in the flesh. He killed sin in the flesh. But my brother, the Bible didn't say the flesh that sinneth shall surely die. He said the soul that sinneth shall surely die. There is no more sin in the flesh. But my brother, tonight there's sin in the soul. Now, the flesh can't help but sin because it's subject to it. Paul said, that I would not do, I do. Oh, wretched man that I am. But said, God's delivered me by taking his own body, doing away with sin in the flesh, making my body the body of Jesus Christ. My soul walks in a righteous body. Is that right? But the soul doesn't have to sin because it was not made subject to vanity. When you do that on your own, and God pronounces death on you. Amen. So then, what are we trying to say? He that is born of God cannot sin. Is that right? Now listen real close now. He that's born of God cannot sin. Where is death? Death is unbelief. Where is unbelief? In Jordan. What is Jordan? Your carnal mind. To be beastly minded is death. That's where it all started. Is that right? Left the mind of God. Got to get back to the garden, which is the mind of God. Got to get over the wilderness, which is the beast mind. Is that right? That's what I'm trying to say. Sin and death is in the wilderness. But the brazen serpent was lifted up out there to get us over Jordan saved. Is that right? To take care of us in the wilderness. Now you say, what are you trying to say? I'm saying that death is conquered. The Bible says the last enemy that be conquered be death. Is that right? Then shall be brought to pass the saying, O death, where is thy sting? And grave, where is thy victory? Is that right when we cross over Jordan? Now, here's what I'm trying to say. I believe tonight that death is conquered. It was conquered at Calvary. The Bible said God has destroyed him that had power over death. He destroyed him that had power over death. You say, for who? For everyone that believes. You pass from death unto life if you can believe. Is that right? A translation, renewing of your mind back to the garden. Is that right? What garden? The presence of God. Not in the presence of the chicaners. Adam wasn't to be ticed out of it, but born of the chicaner. Not a breath of life that was breathed into the first man Adam, but when the second man Adam stood there, Jesus Christ, judging us to be the second man Adam, as the beginning of the creation of God, he breathed the breath of eternal life, which was the Holy Ghost into us. We're born to the Shekinah glory of God. We pass from death unto life. Now you say, how can you prove it? He that is born of God cannot see him. Where does sin come from? It comes through the law. How does it come? It comes through the flesh. If there's no flesh, there can't be no transgression, because there's no law, and where there's no law, there's no transgression. The body's dead, and it can't transgress the law. If I'm dead to the law, I can't transgress it. I'm dead by the body of Jesus Christ, because the Bible said, reckon yourselves to be dead to sin by the body of the Lord Jesus. As many as been baptized into Christ, put on Christ. Is that right? Hid with God in Christ, whom the heavens have received. Until the millennium, the restitution, restoring of all things. Redemption of the body. Is that right? To wit, to recognize, to accept the redemption of the body. By faith, he that did it was translated. Is that right? I'm saying that death is conquered. Death is conquered. You say, how is it conquered? Because sin came by the law. And the sting of death is sin. And if you pluck the stinger out of a bumblebee, he's a bully. He might keep you under bondage. He might scare you. But if you don't have no stinger, he's a bully. Is that right? When Jesus took the sting out of death, which means he conquered death, he conquered sin. When he done away with sin, he conquered death. Is that right? That's why Satan had to be cast out. He could no longer be in there. Now you say, what are you saying? I say that he that is born of God cannot sin. If sin is the sting of death, if he cannot sin, he cannot die. Because it's conquered. Now, death, where is thy sting? Jesus said it would be brought to pass. Where is thy sting? It was plucked out at Calvary. Oh, grave, what victory have you got if there's no stinger in death? The grave holds no victory. Why? Because we pass from death unto life. How? Because at the last trump, the man-child come into the recognition of the mind of Christ, the mind of God, he realized he was in heaven, that he wasn't partakers of this evil, that the thing had been finished and the mind of God had been perfected, that was going to change his body in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And when every one of us gets into this body, when this ministry goes forth with this last message and intellectually indoctrinates everybody till they enter into this membership of the body, every one of them gets in there. I said the other night, it'd be just like getting a bunch of people into a room where gas is at. Everyone comes in, everyone goes to sleep. Is that right? Because they're always asleep at the midnight cry. Get them all in there and let them all go to sleep where the gas is. Is that right? When you get the last one in there, you just close the door and strike the match and all go home together. Is that right? In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. This message, as it preached, intellectually indoctrinated, everyone that's a member of the body of Christ will come into that mind of God. And then when every one of them gets in, the last one gets in, you know what's going to happen? At that time, the Lord Jesus Christ, Joseph in the midst of the brethren, he's going to appear and set it off, and we're going to be with him. We're going to recognize what happened in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. Somebody said, when I go to heaven, my brother, he said, we'd be changed right here. Right here. Then caught up. Somebody said, when I get up yonder, I'm going to be changed. My brother, you'll never get up yonder unless you're changed to start with. It's from glory to glory. You're going now to with the redemption of the body by faith as Enoch did. Better get in this thing. Better get in this thing. We're on our way. Hallelujah. Same waters that destroyed the people raised the ark to safety. Is that right? Set it up here between heaven and earth, and the door was open in heaven. And John went in the 4th chapter. I'm going to close. A lot of things I'd like to say right here, but I'm going to close. How many of you understand what I mean? When the carnal mind is gone and the mind of Christ comes in, there is no death, but woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Let's stand together. The Lord bless you. Let's sing a little chorus together. Folks, don't forget the woman's got her foot on the moon tonight. The Bible said the man and child went up. He went up. Something's taking place. Something's taking place. We're so close. Remember now, if Brother Pike speaks words, it doesn't mean anything. But when the mind of God reveals itself, it's not you that speak. But when his mind reveals itself, Brother Jim, that's creative. Wherever that's at, that's creative. That'll make the withered arm straighten up. That'll make the leg come back. How many of you feel whole? You might have had a lost member, but I believe it's coming back to place, don't you? I'll restore, saith the Lord. All of this. For there is a restoration. And arms must be restored, and legs must be restored, and that man be made whole again. That was crippled by the powers of Satan. You believe it? All the antitypes for crippled people out there in the world show that God's body has been mutilated and crippled. But Brother Donald, it's coming back. Brother Ted, she's fitting back together. Going to be whole again. No halt, no lame, no blind. No dross can enter into the kingdom. You got to be whole to get into this kingdom. Got to be without spot, no blemishes, no birthmarks, no nothing. Got to be whole to get in here. How many of you know that when you're born with the mark of the beast, you're born with the birthmark? But I'm glad we're born to Christ. Born to Christ. That means tonight that we are together in heavenly places tonight. Is that right? You love the Lord? Let's sing a little chorus together. I'm going to turn it back to our brother. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see.